Hey everyone, welcome to the Pod Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube, and also check us out at podawareness.org and on Instagram at podawareness_official. On Instagram, we are doing submissions for Pet of the Week, where you can submit your foster pet, and we'll pick one winner every month, and we'll give $200 to their choice of charity or foster. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today I am talking to Francesca Fulciniti, the Executive Director of Heaven Can Wait Animal Society, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm really excited to speak with you. Go ahead and introduce yourself and the organization, a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, Chris, first of all, thank you for having me on and for showcasing our organization. My name is Francesca. I'm the executive director here at Heaven Can Wait, as you've mentioned. And we're a longstanding local Las Vegas organization. We were founded in 2000 because there was a critical and urgent crisis here in Las Vegas, which was our really high rate of euthanasia for cats and dogs here. You know, at its peak, our shelter, our local county shelter, was euthanizing about 30,000 animals a year. So this organization was founded as a way to save animals' lives, just to put it, simply, and to decrease the rate of euthanasia, make sure that animals that needed homes were getting into homes. So the founders of the organization decided that the best way to do that was to focus on spay and neuter efforts for vulnerable populations. And that's what we've been doing ever since. We've served about 160,000 animals, most of them since we've been at our current clinic location since 2009.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I know that you mentioned spay and neuter. I feel like every organization kind of has their own strengths and what they bring to the table. And What is that program? It sounds like that might be one of your guys' strengths. And what does that look like for you guys? What does that kind of operation on the ground floor look like?
Sure. So I want to say, first of all, that I'm really proud of the veterinary staff that we have here on the ground. I think that that's got to be the core of any successful spay-neuter operation, is to make sure that you have a really dedicated and experienced team. High volume, high quality spay-neuter is not like general veterinary practice. It's a very different animal, no pun intended. It's a life or death situation. We have, you know, every time you serve an animal back there, even though it's a routine surgery, it's one that comes with all of the risks that surgery brings. And sometimes, you know, especially when we're talking about the community cat population we serve, you're sort of going in blind. You don't have a medical history on some of these animals, and they may be dealing with issues that you're just not aware of. Our goal is to serve over 60 animals a day. So as you can imagine, that's a lot of surgeries, to hit our goal of getting about 10,000 animals served per year. So generally, we have two surgeons here at our clinic, Monday through Thursday, and we have an incredible team of veterinary technicians who, like I said, are really experienced in preparing and monitoring animals before, during, and after surgery. So the most important part, you would think, of course, is making sure that the surgery goes well, but monitoring animals after surgery and making sure that they're coming out of anesthesia safely is a really specialized skill. And that's something that our veterinary technicians bring to the table. So, like I said, we have about two surgeons, 4 to 5 veterinary technicians, 1 to 2 veterinary assistants, and then our customer service staff as well. So it's always a busy day at our clinic when we're operating.
And how many people work at your organization? Like, how big is it?
I'd say, so we've just brought on a few new employees. We opened up another program, again, towards our goal of making sure that animals are being kept safe, healthy, and happy in homes and not ending up in shelters. We recently opened up a wellness clinic, which I'm happy to speak to. So I'd say we probably have about 20 staff members currently.
Nice. And what is that? What kind of vicinity are you serving in the Las Vegas area? Because I feel like that's a big area to cover, right? Are you including like outside communities, or what does that look like?
That's a great question. So we're kind of located in, a very urban kind of center of Las Vegas. So we're not on the outskirts or in the suburbs. We want to be easily accessible for the people who need us most. So generally, this will be kind of lower income communities who need access to spay neuter services, but can't typically afford a spay or neuter at a full service vet, which can be $300 to $400. We do see people coming from all around the region, the Las Vegas Valley, especially when we talk about the services that we offer for community cats. That's an area where there are really few resources available to get spay-neuter appointments for community cats. A lot of trap-neuter return groups are bringing in, large volumes of cats at any given time, and they need a clinic that's used to dealing with this population of animals and can be flexible. So when we are kind of ramping up our capacity and doing a push to get community cats in the door, they can be coming from really rural areas around Las Vegas.
And that's kind of what I wanted to ask about too, was how are you guys getting the cats? And it sounds like there are community members that, want their cats neutered, but then there's also these organizations that are probably on the ground floor with traps and catching these populations of cats and then coming to you guys and saying, hey, here we go. And is there like a wait list for that? And is that how that works?
So those are some great questions. The reason why we can serve as many animals as we do is because we maintain some very important community partnerships with trap neuter return organizations that are actually, like you said, on the ground, mostly, volunteer supported, getting out there where they've identified colonies that need spay-neuter services. And so we have partnerships with them where they'll kind of coordinate with their own trappers who are going out in the community, trapping cats and bringing them in to us. So we maintain a lot of different relationships with different partner groups, but there are also individuals who come in because, they've had a neighborhood cat and they want to make sure that this cat gets the services it needs, gets vaccinated, spayed or neutered. We do not have a wait list. Something we've tried really hard to maintain is kind of the most flexibility possible for people engaging in TNR. I don't know how much your listeners might know about TNR. It's pretty hard to predict as a trapper how many cats you might trap in any given night, right? So if you have to reserve appointments ahead of time, it can just kind of create some operational challenges for the trappers and for the clinics. So we have a walk-in weekday clinic. And of course, we work with these groups. If they have some really big job they're working on, we might adjust accordingly to make sure we have the surgical staff and the support staff to accommodate. But we have walk-in clinics Monday through Thursday. Something that's been put on hold because of COVID is a monthly community cat clinic, which is mostly supported by volunteer surgeons and other volunteers that assist with the operations. And these services are offered for free once per month. And that can be something where, a little bit more coordination is involved because we can do about 150 cats in one day.
Wow. So that's something that has not been offered throughout COVID, is from what I understand, correct?
Correct. Yes. We're okay. Bringing it back this fall.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And I was going to ask you about this too. I've talked with some organizations that do trap, neuter, return, maybe in like more, areas with actual seasons, right? Where it gets cold and it gets warm. So I guess I'm curious, what does that look like in Las Vegas, where it's just, it's like, it doesn't snow or, a lot. So how does that, what's that like?
What it means is we have a very long breeding season here. So we're not working really closely with our partner groups to stay on top of the community cat population. things can get out of control pretty quickly. So, I mean, starting in February even or March, we start seeing pregnant mamas and litters of kittens, and that continues really through the fall. Things might slow down a little bit in the very kind of heat of the summer, but we have a much longer breeding season than most places, like you mentioned, that, you know, actually have four seasons.
Yeah, and I think it's, I wanted to say too, I think it's really interesting, and I like the way you guys do it, where you're actually like partnered with some TNR groups in the community, and then mm-hmm. you're really niche down. You're like, okay, we're going to do 60 surgeries a day. And I like that approach, because not every organization has that ability to do that, but I mm-hmm. like that approach where you can really niche down and focus on a couple of things that you just get really, really, really good at. And I think yeah. that's awesome that you guys are doing that.
Yeah. Thank you. That's definitely the approach we want to take. We want to be a community resource for groups that are doing TNR, for groups that are serving families and communities that have needs, for rescue groups. But yeah, like you said, we really want to double down on what we're good at, which is doing spay neuter, doing it very, very well. We have some ancillary programs, again, that kind of fall under our mission umbrella of, you know, decreasing euthanasia rates here in Las Vegas. But the bulk of our operation, you know, as you've noted, is really that spay neuter operation.
Yeah. And I'm interested too. I know that you said like a resource for the community. And I think just in my time of just doing this podcast, I've realized like how important education is. And is there anything that you guys are doing educational wise or programs in the community? I mean, I know there's only so many people over there and so many mm-hmm. hours in the day, but what's that like?
That's another great question. And some of our kind of educational programs also have been put on hold due to COVID. But again, we're excited to bring some of these things back in the fall. So we have pretty strong partners with Clark County Code Enforcement and Animal Control. They're supporters of what we do and have been supporters for a long time. But something, like I said, that we're going to be bringing back in the fall is community vaccination clinics, where we'll go out and, you know, identify a community center in a neighborhood where we think we could really have a high impact with educating people about the importance of vaccinations. We provide these vaccinations for free, along with some other goodies and giveaways. But we also educate them about the importance of spay neuter while they're there getting vaccinations for their pets. So we talk about the health benefits of spay neuter. We talk about, you know, the benefits of keeping puppies and kittens out of shelters. And we do our best while they're there with us. We get that face-to-face time to get them to book an appointment with our clinic. So that's one of the best tools that we have in our tool belt to educate the general public about what we do and why it's important.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I kind of want to ask you one big question, and it's we can continually like spay and neuter cats and stuff, but do you think that there's something like where do you think it starts? Like if you trickle up the chain, is it education with the population? Do you think it's politics? It like something governmental? Like what do you think can be done if you were to just kind of, from what you've seen in your career, that we could do to kind of like just fix this problem? I don't know. It's mm-hmm. a big question. So
it is a big question. I'd say in the last decade or so, Las Vegas in particular has made some big strides when it comes to serving community cats, which is definitely one of our target demographics. There have been overhauls in trap, neuter, return ordinances in a lot of jurisdictions here locally. It didn't always used to be the case that people advocated for trap, neuter, return. And in fact, one of the contributing factors to the really high euthanasia rates here in Las Vegas was the fact that, if people did trap community cats, instead of being spayed or neutered and then returned to their colonies, obviously very few of them were good candidates for adoption, many of them would end up euthanized. So all of those policies have, changed quite a bit here in Las Vegas over the last decade. So I'd say that that's one big win in the books here, but I think there's always room for improvement there, getting some other jurisdictions on board, getting more community resources and support for these initiatives is going to be really important moving forward. But I'd say, you know, the other needs that our community has in particular is just really access to care. I think a lot of people are disenfranchised when it comes to accessing spay and neuter services, but also other forms of veterinary care. And that's why we've launched our own low-cost full-service clinic just recently. You know, if we can address some of these problems upstream, so that we can kind of, again, get that face-to-face time with people, you know, address issues earlier on, so that people aren't forced to make really desperate decisions about whether they're going to pay rent or pay a several thousand dollar vet bill. The sort of questions and concerns that we're getting from the people we serve, and we know a lot of our partners are getting, is people are making, you know, decisions to surrender their animals due to economic hardship, or even euthanize their animals due to economic hardship. So that's where we see kind of the next step in making sure that that kind of animal welfare community here is moving in the right direction, is kind of like intake diversion programming. And we think that where we can fit in there is providing access to high quality veterinary care, you know, and expanding outside of spay and neuter, while continuing to make that a core part of our mission.
That's amazing. I love that approach. And I think it's cool that Las Vegas seems a little bit more on the progressive side of things, because I've talked with people, you know, in some other states, and it's not that way. So that's great. And is that just a matter of just, you know, reaching out to your local politician and just kind of like beating down the door, so to speak, and just staying persistent? I mean, is that what you think is happening?
I think that there have been a lot of people doing this work here in Las Vegas for a very long time. And I'm relatively new to the game, but I know that this is not kind of overnight progress. Our medical director, for example, has been advocating for and working on trap neuter return initiatives and spay neuter initiatives for literal decades. So, I mean, I think we have people like him to thank for the fact that I think Las Vegas is relatively progressive on a lot of these issues. But yeah, definitely not overnight change. I think it's been decades of hard work, you know, on the part of a lot of different people who care about animal welfare to get where we are today.
That's amazing. And where can people find you guys at if they want to support, look you up, follow your guys' progress? Where can we follow you at?
So our website is heavencanwaitlv.org, but we're also on Facebook and Instagram at heavencanwaitlv. So we're always posting about what's happening at our clinic, what's happening with our dog adoption program, Pups on Parole, which is a prison dog training program. We're also, you know, starting to post updates now on our wellness clinic as well, which we're really excited to have just launched. But yeah, we stay really active on there. We'd love to have people kind of plug in, see what we're doing. And yeah, we rely really heavily on community support as well. We wouldn't be where we are today without our donors. So if anyone's interested in kind of looking up our programs, what we are, what we do, I'd say our website's the best place.
Definitely. And all the links to those will be in the description below. Love the name, by the way. I think that's such an amazing name. It just, I feel like, says a lot. And Francesca, thanks a lot for coming on. It was great talking to you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks again for having us on and for kind of talking a little bit about what we do. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Learned a lot. Thank you. And we'll definitely be talking again in the future.
Awesome. Great.